Hey, it's your host and island friend, Rizal, and I am thrilled to share with you an exciting opportunity for wellness and personal growth. As a longtime resident of St. Martin and a wellness enthusiast, in short, I'm excited to announce the Island Awakening Luxury Retreat, a wellness retreat like no other. This retreat is designed to help you live the happy, positive life you've been wanting to live. You'll learn how to handle stress, overcome procrastination, heal from heartbreak if that's your case, and become the radiant, authentic person you were meant to be. Get ready to meet the new version of you. As the host of this retreat, I can attest to the transformative power of this experience. You'll be immersed in the natural beauty of St. Martin, all while engaging in workshops, group sessions, and one-on-one coaching with me, all focused on your wellness, your personal growth, and your self-empowerment. And of course, we'll have plenty of fun too. You'll get to experience the best of St. Martin, all with me as your guide, with island activities like a sunset cruise, a day trip to a neighboring island, an exotic day filled with fun on the beach, and gourmet dining experiences out of this world. The Island Awakening Luxury Retreat is a chance to prioritize your well-being, invest in yourself, and come away feeling refreshed, renewed, and radiant. So don't wait, register now because space is limited at thetravelingislandgirl.com/upcoming-retreats, or just go to the show notes for more and get ready to meet the new, improved version of you. Now, back to the show. Welcome to Paradise Perspectives, a podcast about Caribbean travel from the locals' perspective. And get ready for some authentic Caribbean travel tips, recommendations, and more from the people who live where you vacation. Straight from Paradise, I'm your host and island friend, Rizal, the traveling island girl. Hey you, and thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited that you were able to make some time to spend with me again to discover a little bit more about the Caribbean. And this time, I promise this episode is going to be super interesting one. Well, all my episodes are interesting, aren't they? But we're about to take another exciting trip to the Caribbean, and this time it is to the British Virgin Islands. And that makes me excited because it has been a while since I last was there. And that reminds me, it's about damn time that I start making plans to return. Well, today we're going to do exactly that, but we are going to do it virtually. And to help us navigate all of the islands in the BVI, the British Virgin Islands, is BVI native herself and my personal friend, Rochelle Atkinson. Her story, by the way, is a very interesting one. She went from studying and practicing law to now, well, actually, you know what? I'm going to let her tell you her story because, of course, after all, it's her story to tell, right? So here she is. Take a listen. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I have the beautiful Rochelle in front of me right now, or at least on my screen. For those of you who are listening, thank you so much for tuning in to Paradise Perspectives today. And I have something really special planned today because I'm having a conversation with my good friend Rochelle there in the BVIs. So we're going to talk a little bit about the BVIs, but also a little bit about everything that Rochelle actually does, which is super interesting. So you want to listen to this episode until the very, very end. Rochelle, thank you so much for making the time to be on the show today, because I know you and I couldn't really agree on a date. And of course, you're a new mother, so I can only imagine that there's only like a little window every day that you get a time to actually do this. So thank you so very much for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I'm delighted, and hopefully we can get some good juicy tips for everybody, all your listeners who are out there listening today.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I cannot wait because it's been a while since I've been on your lovely island of Tortola, and I explored a little bit of the BVI and the USVI for that matter, but I fell in love with certain areas of Tortola and other parts of the BVI in general. So I cannot wait to kind of like revisit those places, which I'm sure they're going to come up in our conversation today. But before we dive into, you know, the BVIs and how you can share, or what kind of recommendations and insider tips you're going to share with us today, I want to first, talk a little bit about you, because I find your life so very interesting. We first started following each other on Instagram, and at that time you still had My Raked Leaves as an account name, right?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that, My Raked Leaves. Why My Raked Leaves?
So I had a passion for writing at the time. So I started this blog so that I could share. I guess I was going through my own personal development era, you know, like wanting to be better. I was really into like personal finances and just like overall like personal, like just wanted to become the better, a better version of myself. So I dived really deep into a lot of like the self-help books and personal development books. And I thought, you know, I'd love to share like the experiences I'm having right now on a platform. And hopefully it could be helpful to someone who is perhaps going through a similar journey. So I started the blog, My Raked Leaves, and it was supposed to be like falling leaves that fall on the floor, and I kind of like rake them up. So that's like all my gems and wisdom that I kind of just raked up, and I'm just like putting it out there for everybody. Yeah, for everybody to just to see. And so RAKE is actually the acronym for my full name, Rachelle Anike Edmondson. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to incorporate something that had my name in it. So I came up first, I was toying with the idea of My New Leaves. But then I was like, I really wanted to put my personal touch on it. And so I said, My Raked Leaves. So I had the blog going, and I mentioned that I kind of stepped away from the blog because I found that I wasn't really enjoying the process of writing an article every week and posting it up. Like that process just felt very heavy. And just like my own personal journey, just knowing that anything that feels heavy, anything that you don't necessarily enjoy, is probably not in alignment. And it's a funny story, because are we allowed to go into woo-woo stuff on this podcast?
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I am woo-woo away, because I am so in awe with everything that you're doing. And my, I'm actually finding, I'm going through my personal development right now. Mm-hmm. It has been an amazing journey so far. So I am totally into that. I'm actually even, and you're hearing this, you're the first person I'm actually saying this out loud to, but I'm actually thinking of starting a podcast about that transformation, about that personal journey. So that's coming next, as if I don't have enough on my plate already. But but what I love is your journey has been so interesting, because you started with My Raked Leaves, you now, and but before that you were a lawyer.
So
you went into health and wellness. I mean, I need to know more about this too, so please go all woo-woo on us. I hope the listener is also into the woo-woo stuff right now.
I hope so. So I am on the other end. I finally have the term for it, because I didn't understand what it is was happening at the time. But I'm on the other end of what they term as a Kundalini awakening. So it's almost like it's an awakening into the reality of what the world actually is, and, you know, what my place in the world should be. And just like navigating that and just noticing that, you know, the things that I thought the world was wasn't really true. And just kind of like taking off the sparkle glasses or the colored lenses, and kind of actually seeing everything for what they are, for what it is. So I'm on the other end of that. And I started, stepping into my, I guess you would say gifts. So clairvoyancy, I do the tarot, and clairvoyancy, there's clairaudience and claircognizance. So interesting thing, the reason why I diverted from the blog was because I got a psychic reading. So I met a psychic, and she did a reading, and she kind of said that my strengths are not in writing a 1,000-word essay and sharing that. Like my strengths is with art, so pictures. Like I'm a visual learner, so I learned that I'm a visual person. So the fact that I was sitting and writing 1,000 words every week and it felt heavy and excruciating was because it just was not in alignment with my actual gifts. So I said, okay, how can I still show up online in a way that feels in alignment with now understanding my personal gifts? And so during my travels, I did a lot of healing, holistic healing therapy training. So I did some trainings in Reiki. I did yoga. I did breath work, meditation. Also did some sound therapy. And then I did a certification in holistic and naturopathic therapy. So these are things that I was interested in because I used to be a lawyer, as I said. So going back to 2016, I started my career. I was a corporate and finance lawyer here in the British Virgin Islands. And okay. I didn't love it. I didn't love it 100%, but I didn't not.
It wasn't one of those days. Did you start because you had to and you had to pick something? Because I always feel like, you know, at a time when we have to choose a profession, we are way too young to actually, you know, pick something that we're going to stick with until the end. And not everybody gets to pick something that they actually truly love. So what was the reason why you picked to become a lawyer instead of everything else out there?
Yeah. I mean, that was exactly it. I remember I had toyed between a few professions. I was quite younger. I was like, I wanted to be a hairdresser. I wanted to be a singer and like, or I wanted to be a nurse, you know? And then like everyone would just kind of be like, And I was like, oh, I'm going to be a lawyer. And then everyone around me just seemed so happy. Like, ooh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do law. And then in the back of my mind as well, I'm thinking like a law degree isn't necessarily the worst degree you could potentially like have, you know, like there's law in everything that we do. And so it is a useful degree. So I thought if I'm going to go to university, I would do something that's useful that I can get the knowledge necessary to segue into something else if something did come up on my path. So I just started as a lawyer. I started very young as well. I finished law school at 23. So I started my first, you know, real career at a very young age when I don't even know myself. And it's just through going through that motion of like showing up for work and like having to be an adult for the first time in my life. It kind of just hit me like, is this what I really want to do? Do I really want to sit and work for 40 years of my life and like my life just passes me by? And so I just like started toying with the idea of taking a break. I was like, I'll just take a sabbatical. So this is 5 years later, right? I've progressed into my career. I'm at my fifth year in my career. And I'm just like, I think I can take a break. I can just take a break and then I'll see if there's something else that I can get into and then I'll come back. And I said, you know, I really love health and wellness. You know, that it's been a passion for mine personally because I had like a fitness journey where I lost almost like 50 pounds and I was like really into the gym life. So like I had a passion for health and wellness and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to explore health and wellness a little deeper while I'm on my break. It was only supposed to be a year. And I said, I'll go traveling. So I decided, oh, I'm going to go to Costa Rica. So, you know, the first trip that I take from being a lawyer here in the Virgin Islands was Costa Rica. And I got there and I lived in community at Punta Mona. I don't know if you heard about Punta Mona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I lived in like conscious community in Punta Mona. And I feel like that was the catalyst of my like awakening. Just like being surrounded around people who are just like stewards of the earth and just like seeing how differently they think to me, who has been technically institutionalized, you know, for all of her life. And I'm out here with the, you know, the jungle people walking barefoot and, you know, enjoying like, you know, being a steward of the land and understanding how, you know, the human earth relationship works and how it should look. Mm-hmm. And just like realizing that I wanted to start adopting some of those principles and lifestyles into my own life. So that was like the beginning of me, you know, wanting to learn about holistic living and holistic healing. Because I'd always toyed of the idea, you know, holistic mind, body, soul. But I was kind of like one foot in, one foot out. And then that experience was like, you know what, I'm going to go all in and see where this takes me. Because I have an interest, like a genuine interest in like seeing where this goes. And so that's when I did the Reiki training. And then after that, I did the yoga and then the breath work. And I just kept like learning other modalities, just kept going. Amazing. Yeah. And then I'm sitting with my Rick Leaves and I still have the blog because I've still been paying for the URL and, you know, all of that stuff. And I haven't posted anything in 2 years. And the thing keeps reminding me, hey, you haven't posted. And I'm like, why am I still paying for this blog? Like, I don't understand. So I go in and I'm about to cancel the subscription. And I'm just like, maybe I could just start like my wellness business, like my wellness practice. You know, like I really think that there's something here. So maybe I can see if there's something else out there that I'm ready to step into as a new identity. So I feel like my Rick Lees was like the little girl who was a bit confused, wasn't really sure like what her passion is, what her path is, trying to do the personal development stuff and like, you know, recognizing that there's more beyond even personal development, right? Like there's so much more than what meets the eye. So now I'm like, okay, I need to step into something that reflects who I am right now. And so I'm like, I'm a mom. I feel like that's a big part of my identity now. Like I can't not take that on as an identity. Like that's a big part of me right now. And I remember one time I wanted to film because I have a YouTube channel for my tarot. So I remember I wanted to film something for that channel and I didn't have childcare. I didn't have anybody to like watch baby for me. And I'm not really 100% into the whole daycare kind of thing. So I have friends and family that I would kind of lean on. But on this specific day, like everyone, you know, had their own things going on. And I'm like, okay, I need to actually create a life where my baby is a part of my identity. Like I can't put him aside when I want to show up to the world because he's a part of what's happening in my life now. And so I'm thinking, okay, I really want to push the holistic healing therapies because I wanted to start a business. So I started a business. I don't want to say little. Let's speak life into the project.
Yes, please.
Speak life into the project. I started my wellness practice. It's called Live Well Holistic. And I just thought to myself, I'm really into this holistic living and I'm a mom. And I view this lifestyle as the new medicine, you know, like we're indoctrinated to think that medicine can only be pharmaceuticals, but medicine can be the breath. Medicine can be nature. Medicine could be singing. It could be dancing. It's almost like alternative approach to our modern day idea of what health really is or what medicine is. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to do like holistic mama medicine. I was sitting right there because I'm in my living room. I was sitting right there on the couch. And it just like literally came to me like holistic mama medicine. And usually when I'm going to change a URL or I'm toying with the idea of it, I kind of sit on it or I do the search to see if anybody else has the URL, has the handle, see if the URL is available. I usually do all of that stuff before I actually like do a big change. And this time I just typed it in. I was like, holistic mama medicine. And boom, it just changed. I was like, wow, this is supposed to be my new identity. Like, this is who I'm going to
be. If that wasn't a calling, then I don't know what is. It was like a moment of a calling. It's just amazing. And you know what is so beautiful, Rochelle, is that through your Instagram and having followed you for a while now, since, you know, you had my Raked Leaves and now you transformed into holistic mama medicine, I've been following it and I've seen the growth. There was a moment where you kind of like disappeared for a while. You came back. You had a child. You had, like, you know, it was like we were following each other before because of travel. Both of us were like really obsessed even with traveling the world or in my case the Caribbean. And then from then it was so beautiful to see you transform into what you're doing now and your pictures on the healthy eating and healthy lifestyle things that you can do. And it was just so beautiful. And then of course when you started the sacred I think it's called the Sacred Wisdom Tarot, and when I saw that I was like immediately I booked a session with you and I have not regretted it. Awesome. So it's like, thank you so much for all of those gifts that you are sharing now with us. Now, I must ask my next question. It's going to go a little bit more into the BVI. How has, because coming from the Caribbean and being kind of like going through this transformation, like I said before myself, I've noticed that a lot of this, and you said you didn't want to go too woo-woo. And we say the word woo-woo because a lot of times when you start talking about things like this, people start rolling their eyes. They're not taking it seriously, or it's not for them, or they're just not ready. But I feel like in the Caribbean especially, we get a lot of backlash for that. There's a lot of people that are just not open to the idea, who probably will never be open to the idea. So how did you go, and how did you actually handle probable criticism that came your way from, you know, you were a lawyer, what the hell are you thinking starting this holistic adventure? How did that go for you in the BVI?
Right. That's a really good question. And it's still like a process. It's still an ongoing process. I can start with my own immediate family unit. Like, they have been supported to the point where they understand. And I feel like it's been like a test for me, or more like a process of just educating people. I feel like I was a bit hesitant in, you know, starting to share this side of my life. And then I just realized, like, as I was sharing it to pockets of people, so starting with my immediate family, then friends and close acquaintances, you know, just sharing with these little pockets of people on the first instance, you know, people are actually interested, you know, to some degree. Mm-hmm. On like, it's not something that they would necessarily, you know, want to do themselves, but they like to sit and listen to the stories that I share, mm-hmm. and the ideas that I'm sharing with this holistic practice, and you know, going into to that you know, the woo-woo side of things. So there is pockets of people, of course, because we're a heavily Christian society. So there is pockets of people, mm-hmm. who probably wouldn't even want to consider it. And that's fine. I think religion is a beautiful thing. I have nothing against anybody who, you know, recognizes a higher consciousness as, you know, their divine creator. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, essentially, I believe the same thing. I believe in God. And so I have nothing against, mm-hmm. religion. I have nothing against people who, you know, want to prioritize Christianity as their primary organized religion. So if it's not for them, it's not for them. But what I realize is that the right people will find me, and they will find what I'm sharing to be valuable. Yeah. And so that's all I'm going with. So right now, like, my practice is very small. Like, I've probably had one or two clients, you being one of them, right? So, yeah. Like, it's not something that's grown immensely, because I just started pushing it in December last year. Mm-hmm. Although I've been reading tarot on my travels. So on my travels, I was doing tarot, and that was a hit, because in Costa Rica, like, people were loving it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I was able to make a living.
Yeah, they're open to the idea.
Right. I was able to make a living, like, reading tarot cards, and I just could not believe it, like, on my travels.
Fantastic.
But yeah, but what's holding me right now is, you know, the smart investments that I made while I was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So I mean, this kind of segues, I guess I might be jumping the gun, but like, I invested in two beachfront rental condos that I share on Airbnb. So right now, you know, like, that's like my main bread and butter. But the, you know, eventually I know that this practice will grow. And so I'm just looking at it from like an international perspective.
And of course, she's leaving that little part, which is such a juicy part, especially for Paradise Perspective. She leaves it up until the end of the introduction of herself. You rent beachfront condos. Can we go back to that for a second, please? Because that is so interesting. Yeah. And now I'm like, very interesting. So you mean to tell me I can go to Tortola, I can stay in one of your beachfront condos, and I can get a little bit of practice with you, I can get my cards read, and I can get some yoga or a Reiki while I'm there? That is your gold mine right there, Rochelle. I think that is exactly what you need to get going. And I love if you could kind of like incorporate all of that. You're on the beach. The beach is such a soothing place. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling like, hell yes for this. This is amazing. Okay, so for everybody, for you that is listening right now, I thank you so much for listening, of course, but also, this is our opportunity, right? We can actually now go to Tortola, and we can have all of these wellness and health experiences while we're there. That is really good. Which, if you can kind of like add all of those beautiful salads that you've been posting on your Instagram lately,
yeah,
oh, that would be like such a big plus too.
You might be onto something.
I think that's exactly what you need to start doing. It's like, yeah, that is the holistic practice right there.
Right.
Get them to stay a little longer. I love the idea. Love it. Right. All right. I'm already seeing myself there. Mm-hmm. I haven't even seen the apartments yet. But yes, I will definitely go in. We're going to link it. We're going to link the Airbnb rentals. We're going to link that in the show notes. Mm-hmm. So for you who is listening and you're thinking, huh, that is super interesting, go to the show notes after this conversation and you're going to find out all about how you can follow Rochelle, how you can get yourself a reading. And she does that online, so you don't necessarily have to be in front of her. And of course, also all of the rest of the information that we're going to be talking about is going to be in the show notes today. I am so excited for the next part of our conversation, because now we're going to go into BVI as a destination. And were you born and raised there?
Yes, yes. I was born and raised in the British Virgin Islands. I was born on Tortola, which is the main island, the biggest island. Yeah.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey there, island lovers. Now, you know me. I'm all about exploring the Caribbean. And if I can get to explore it while staying in the lap of luxury, it's all that much better. Sign me up, am I right? So I found the best rental company, and they're called Top Villas. If you're dreaming of a Caribbean getaway, these guys are the real deal. They've got a treasure trove of villas in all the hottest spots in the Caribbean. Whether you're looking for a cozy little love nest for your honeymoon, maybe perhaps you're looking for a spacious villa for your family reunion, or you're like me and you're looking for a luxury retreat where you and your friends can get together and celebrate something epic. But here's the kicker. The amenities are off the charts. It's like an all-inclusive Caribbean vacation dream come true. They've got travel planners to make your trip unforgettable, travel extras to make life easy, and a concierge during your stay so you don't have to lift a finger. I mean, if you're going to go all out, you better go all out. You know what I mean? And don't even get me started on the homes. They're extraordinary. Trust me, these villas are like your own slice of paradise. So if you want to experience jaw-dropping locations, incredible amenities, and of course, luxurious homes, you need to make Top Villas your next Caribbean adventure. It's like a one-stop shop for your next luxurious Caribbean getaway. I've left the link in the show notes for you to make it easy. All you have to do now is click book and voila, you're in your own Caribbean heaven. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's talk first a little for those who have never been and who, you know, there's a lot of people who kind of like get the islands kind of like a little confused. And I can imagine, because all the islands are so close together. I mean, there has even been people that saw, you know, that wanted to come to St. Martin that I always thought it was part of either the BVI or the USVI. So, you know, probably just because it has like the saint in the name, I'm not quite sure, but a lot of people tend to think that. And we are not too far from the cluster of islands that is the Virgin Islands. So I can imagine why people get that, get confused when it comes to that. But I want to know, like, what are the islands? Can you name the main islands, that is? Because you have so many smaller keys and islands all through the BVI. So if we're going to start now, we'll never end, because there's so many.
Right.
How many are there in total, actually? Do you know?
So we're about 60 islands, rocks, and keys. So it's a little archipelago. Mm-hmm. It's about 60 miles east of Puerto Rico, just to give you some geography. And if you were to take a flight from Puerto Rico to the Virgin Islands, it'd be about 20 minutes. So that's just to show you, like, geography-wise.
Yeah, it's really, really close by. And from St. Martin, I think it's more like 30 minutes flight.
30
with
minutes.
A small plane.
With a small aircraft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay, so now let's name the, like, the major islands, the ones that you definitely need to explore while there.
Yeah. So the main island is Tortola. There's four that they would consider the main islands, because they're the four largest and they have the most people living on them. So the first one is Tortola. The second one is Anagata, and the second largest is Anagata. The third largest is Virgin Gorda, and then the fourth largest is Jos Van Dyke. So, yeah, so those are like the four main ones, and that's just because they are the most inhabited. And they also, so Tortola would be considered like the economic hub. So that's where like most of our economy is built on Tortola. And Virgin Gorda, Anagata, Jos Van Dyke, I would say they're, well, Virgin Gorda has now become part of that economic hub just because we've kind of transferred some government, you know, government businesses over to Virgin Gorda so that people of Virgin Gorda can have easy access and stuff. But like still Anagata and Jos Van Dyke are still a bit more like the touristy, they're seen more as like tourism as their main income. The other ones that, that are notable as well would be islands like Cooper Island. There's Norman Island. There's the one that Richard Branson owns, which is Necker Island, and he now owns Mosquito Island. There's Eustatia Island that Larry Page for Google, he owns that one. Other notable ones would be Salt Island, and I'm missing one that I would say is another. Did I say Cooper? Yeah, I'm just trying to name the ones that have actual ferry access. And I think those are the ones that have ferry access. The others you can visit, and of course, but you need to have your own vessel. Yeah.
Right. Or do one of those, like, which is, of course, what BVI is so, so famous for, is the you know, the that you can book a boat with a captain and crew and kind of like cruise the entire region and see all of these islands, which I've done. I've had the pleasure of doing that once, which is amazing. Definitely recommend it. If you have the opportunity to do so, do it. It is so well worth it. And I did see, I did get to see on that trip a lot of the islands that you're talking about. Now we did, I think the other one that you're thinking is Peter? You're missing is Scrub Island.
And not only Scrub Island, but Peter Island. That's it. That's the one I was trying to remember.
Yes.
Yeah. That one. Yeah. That one is a the ferry that goes to Peter Island isn't open to the public right now because the resort itself is still being rebuilt since the hurricane. So if you have your own vessel or as you did, charter your own vessel, you can sail into Peter Island and enjoy that island as well. But you're right, Scrub Island. And now there's like a there's Scrub like Island. Marina Key is back up as well, that just has a little restaurant on it. And then there's Saber Rock, which is the little islands off of Virgin Gorda. And then there's one more that I want to
mention. Saber Rock the one that has that resort on it as well?
The newly built one.
The Saber Rock, the resort was heavily damaged after the hurricane in 2017. So they just, I just saw that on Instagram indeed, that they have reopened since. That is so beautiful to see. Because last time when I was in your area, it was right after. So I did, a lot of things were not open yet and et cetera. So it's beautiful to see that everything is back up and running. Now we have to talk about the things that the Virgin Islands is so, so, so famous for, which is of course the baths at Virgin Gorda. And then Jos Van Dyke is famous for the, oh my gosh, the...
Is it white? There's white, it is White Bay Beach? And then White Lake Beach, Foxy's New Year's Eve party.
Soggy Dollar and Foxy's. Those are things that you, I know, heavily touristic, but definitely worth a visit.
Yeah.
I actually, you know, it was one of those things that I, when they said we're going to stop there, I was like, you know, very touristic. I've seen it all on Instagram. It feels like I've already been there with so many pictures that have been shared. But when it's, you get there, you get it, you know, you actually get it, why it's so famous. And we had a grand time. It's like, I really, really enjoyed it. And of course, you're famous for the painkiller.
The painkiller, yes. There's so much debate. The painkiller
is such an important part. Yes. So much actually to experience.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I have to pick your brain as a local who actually lives and who actually grew up there. I want to pick your brain, like, in your opinion, what would be, like, let's say the top five things that you say anybody visiting for the first time must do when they're in the Virgin Islands?
Okay, so the hands down, the best way to experience the British Virgin Islands is to do it by boat. So if you have some friends that you can pull together, because it's not an expensive trip, it does cost. I can think like a week on a boat might cost you about $10,000 or $15,000, you know, with a crew. So if you could experience it that way, a week on a boat, so that you can travel to the different islands, like that would be my top recommendation if you could do it. Secondly, if you're a snorkeler or if you enjoy underwater experiences, I really love snorkeling at the caves on Norman Island. And the really cool thing about Norman Island is that you can make a day out of it, because they have Pirates, the restaurant there, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Wheelie Tea, so you can make a day out of it with the Wheelie
Tea.
That
is a classic. Yeah. It's classic. Right. I mean, like, who doesn't know the Wheelie Tea? The Wheelie Tea, if you don't know, is this, what is it actually? It's a boat. But was it a barge or?
It was a barge. Sure. So it is a barge. The original one got ruined in Irma. Mm-hmm. And they got a second one, but they anchored it right off of Norman Island. So it's like right before you go to swim to the caves, right before you get inland to the restaurant. So
I was there actually twice, and I didn't know about the snorkeling in the caves. That's amazing.
Yeah, like lots of people miss that because they go to the bigger sites. So there is, I guess I'm skipping to three, you know, like if you're a diver, there's the Wreck of the Rhone. There's the Wreck of the Rhone, which is beautiful. And the Indians, which is like a group of rocks just off, right, just off.
Yes.
Yeah. So like you can go and dive those spots. I have snorkeled the Indians and oh my God, beautiful, beautiful fish. Reefs. Like lots of people say, you know, the reefs aren't, I would admit as well, I don't think our reefs are doing very well. And I don't know if that's a Caribbean wide thing or if that's just like Tortola.
It is actually.
So I hear lots of tourists.
I think it's a Caribbean wide thing, unfortunately.
Right. Mm-hmm. I hear lots of tourists, you know, saying, you know, the reefs aren't as beautiful and there's not much to see. But I just think they just don't know where the diving sites or the sites that you can see actual fish, where they're still thriving. And Norman Island Caves is one of them. And the Wreck of the Rhone Indians, that's another one.
And the Indians,
So that would say that's three. Yeah. Number four, I would say like an island drive of Tortola in itself. Like I actually started doing tours as part of my experience, guest experience with my
kids.
Yes, yes. So what I like to do is I like to take them to.
That's amazing, Michelle.
Yeah. There's
okay, that's it. I am definitely coming back to Tortola.
yeah. So I put everybody in my Jeep Wrangler and we go across the island from east to west. It takes about 2 hours, and I like to take it from town, go to the eastern end, come up around, and then come back around to the western end on the north side. And I just like to show them the hidden beaches, because we have a few hidden beaches where you can do some rock climbing and, you know, little swimming pools, like pools that you can go and you know, just enjoy the day at the beach.
Like you mean like the natural pools?
Natural pools. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't have any rivers. I don't know. Sadly, because I love rivers. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, me too.
But we have the beaches.
It's like the same here too. We don't have that.
Right.
Yeah. You have the beaches.
We have the beaches, and we have these like little natural pools that form, you know, just because of the tide coming in over years and years. And I think that's a nice experience to compare to, you know, like a river experience. Mm-hmm. So an island drive, you know, from east to west, and just showing you the little pockets of the beaches that aren't listed on the TripAdvisor, you know, like these are beaches that you would have to either talk to a local and they will share it with you and say, yes, you need to go and see this space. So I like doing that as well. Like an island tour would be number four, I would say. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth thing would be, I'm torn. Like, the fifth thing, because I really love Anagata. Like, that's, like, one of my favorite islands. Right. I don't know if you had the benefit of going over to
Anagata. I didn't go because it's, Anagata is, of course, not, it's a little bit of a longer ferry ride right. than the rest of the islands. Right. Like, Virgin Gorda, et cetera, you can get there in, like, in no time.
Right.
But I think Jost Van Dyke also is a little longer, just a tad longer, is it?
If you take the boat from West End, it's about 20 right. minutes. It's about 20 minutes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
It's probably because I was seeing the boat leaving from town. I think.
Like, if you take a boat from town.
It takes a little longer, so you have to go around.
Right.
So we didn't. But tell me about Anagata.
Yeah, so.
What is so special about it? Wait, is this your number five? Because you said you're in between.
Number five? I'm touring because I was saying, like, this
You know
one...
what? What the hell? Let's go to number six. Let's do six so you can mention both.
Awesome. Yeah, so I think, like, number five for me would be Anagata because it's, like, it just it's, like, an untouched piece of land. And Anagata is primarily made up of limestone. So, I mean, I feel like you've probably mm-hmm. been to Anguilla. I would say Anguilla would be like a...
Yeah, it's like all a contender. The time. Yeah.
I saw you were loving Anguilla right. on your Instagram. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So imagine like Anguilla. Because I think Anguilla is quite small. What's their population? Like 300 people?
Well, Anguilla is actually... Yeah, population-wise, they're very small. But they are 35 square miles.
Oh, so they're big. They're even bigger than Tortola.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, how big is Tortola?
Tortola's 24 square miles.
No way. You know that when I was there, I did not experience it that way at all. Because right. once you're in Tortola, it feels like much bigger. I could have sworn it's bigger than St. Martin and Anguilla. St. Martin's 37.
No, we're smaller. But total, we're 58 square miles. Like if you added all the islands together, it's about 58.
All the little, right. Okay, so let's go back to Anagata because that's actually Anagata and Anguilla have a lot of in common because both of them limestone, right? So
Mm-hmm. It's like it's so picturesque. Imagine like turquoise blue waters. Amazing seafood. If you really love seafood, fresh seafood caught mm-hmm. right there from the fishermen. Like, it just reminds me, it's just like a time capsule, like you're like a blast in the past. And like, if you enjoy seclusion, serenity, peace and quiet, mm-hmm. being really close to nature, because everywhere is basically close to the water. If you enjoy laid back, almost like romantic. If you're a romantic, a hopeless romantic like myself, like you would love like Anagata, and it's just so laid back, and you can drive a what do you call those little cars again? It's not a tuk-tuk.
Oh, the mini mokes. Yes,
mokes. No, there we go. The mokes. Yes. Yeah, you can rent a moke, and you can go exploring. There's a beautiful pond over there that you can see flamingos. So you can actually take a tour and they can take you to the flamingos, the reefs, the most beautiful snorkeling, you probably beautiful stingrays. I mean, people are petrified of stingrays, but after I had my experience of actually snorkeling with the stingrays, I'm like, they're so beautiful. They're so harmless, you know, to a certain extent.
And they are actually there not because they're getting fed or anything. They're just live there. So it's not like one of those excursions where they...
No.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how I feel about excursions where they're fed, but yes. Yeah. So, that's right. So beautiful. But can you actually stay on Anagata?
You can. So there's a few hotels there. Hotels. One of my favorite is Anagata Beach Club, but that's because they have those like beach palapas. So there's like beach tents like right on the beachfront, which I love that experience. One of them even has like a bathtub on the deck. Yeah, so you can like have a bath and watch the sunset. And like if you go over there on a new moon or a full moon. So new moon when there's no moon, it's like you can see all the stars because there's like no light pollution or anything like that. It's just beautiful.
That's gorgeous.
And then if you go on a full moon, you see this massive moon kind of like rising up. It's just like it's just a surreal magical experience. And there's only 180 people that live there, so that tells you like how secluded it is. When Barack Obama and Michelle Obama visited, they took a trip to Anagata. So it's like one of those spaces where you you kind of have to go. And if you enjoy like water sports, windsurfing, kite surfing, the best winds to get that type of action is found on Anagada, that side of the British Virgin Islands. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I don't know about the listener, but I'm sold. Right. I am so sold. And it's, I think for especially for people like you and I who are now into that more holistic way of thinking and, you know, the personal growth, the path and all of that. And I think that is what attracts us most of all, is because you want to go to a place that's secluded, that has that, like that, that nature is still a full bloom there, you know, and that it doesn't, it's not distorted too much by our footprints as humans. So I think, yeah, that sounds like my cup of tea for sure. For sure. All right. So since you mentioned it before, you mentioned that you have in your island tour that you offer to your guests, you show them a little few of the hidden beaches. Like, you know, I don't want to like really tell too much because you're going to have to go to Virgin Islands and to Tortola and book a tour by yourself with Rochelle to actually see this. So I don't want to tell too much, but I do want you to tell us at least one of your favorite.
Okay. So I'll kind of do a cheat because this isn't like a hidden beach, but it's one of the more secluded beaches. And also there's like a hidden beach that you can get to from this beach. So I guess it's two in one, and it's called Little Bay. Mm-hmm. It's called Little Bay.
Wow.
So they're like the road to get to the place is horrible. So if you don't have like a 4x4 car, like you can't even get like a 4-wheel drive car. You can't even get there.
You're not even
like,
getting
it's impossible. Unless you want to hike it, which you can. But when you step onto this beach, there's always nobody there. Nobody there. The water, the water is turquoise blue. If you go there on low tide, you can walk over to like a hidden section where you can rock climb, and there's some caves in there. It's like a movie. It's like a scene from a movie almost. And it's one of the places that I personally like to go to. And it's interesting because I haven't actually been there for a while because, you know, I had the baby and I tend not to go to that beach anymore. So so that's interesting.
That is really interesting. Is the hidden beach now that you can get to from this beach?
You know, I don't know the name, and that's a shame. I should I know the name? I don't even know if there's a name. I can probably find out and send it to you, and you can share it
I'll
later.
I'll share it after in the show notes.
The name.
I mean, it's so hidden that you can't remember the name. That already says a lot.
No, not that I can't remember the name. I just don't know if there's a name.
You see,
for the beach,
that's even better. It's that hidden that it may not even have. So is it more like a little name? Cove?
A little sand, like a little sandy, covey place. Like, I don't even think it's like an actual beach. Now that I'm thinking about it. It's not an actual beach.
Whatever
it is,
it sounds interesting. Like a personal little beach.
Right.
Oh, I love that. Right. It's like here on St. Martin, we have what we call Lover's Beach. We call it Lover's Beach because it's so small that only two people can fit on it. So, yeah. So I think it's probably something like that.
Okay, so now
going back to what you, of course, we already spoke about, you know, the things that the islands are mostly well known for, but there are also a lot of resorts and hotels that are very, very famous, like, for instance, you know, the one on Cooper Island and Scrub Island. But what is, since you mentioned the Anagada Beach Club, did you, because as a local, and I get this all the time, people are like, which hotel do you like? And I was like, as a local, I don't go around staying in hotels all the time. You know, I have a house here, so that's not what I do. But I did have the opportunity of staying in a few, and I think just like you. So other than the Anagada Beach Club, and I think if you are going to spend time on one of the other islands, you might have stayed in different places. Is there one or two that you can recommend that you say, okay, well, these are definitely hotels that I would recommend?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I'm like going back into my time capsule of places I stayed. Right. I remember I stayed in, there's a place called Mango Bay Resort in Mayo Bay in Virgin Gorda that had the cutest little, it's almost like a lighthouse.
Oh.
Or it's like built, like it's like a lookout almost. So you go up some stairs and like, it's like a lookout point and like there's a room in there and a kitchen and everything. But like you see this beautiful view of like that bay. And then they have some beachfront stays as well. This one is on Virgin Gorda, but I'm just trying to think about on Tortola. Ah, I know.
Okay.
Long Bay Resort.
Long Bay Resort.
Yes.
Long Bay Resort.
I had the privilege, right? I had the privilege of staying there. Well, it was right after, it was during the pandemic, right? I remember now. So, you know, not lots of people were traveling. And I remember it was like my birthday. And I wanted to do something without like having to go off of Tortola. I just wanted to do something on Tortola. Actually, was it my birthday? I don't remember what the occasion was, but it was an occasion. And I just called them and I was like, hey, I know that, you know, it's COVID and like nothing's happening right now. Like, do you guys offer like local rates? And they go, yeah, we do. And awesome. They like gave me a rate and I stayed there for 2 nights. Oh, so beautiful. Oh, that beach, Long Bay, is probably one of the most beautiful beaches.
Are you talking about West Visually, Long Bay? Are you I would talking say. About though? Because there's two.
West End. Long Bay, West End.
Is that the one that you can swim at? That's the one closer to the airport or the Long Bay that's on the other side?
No, that's Long Bay. That's Long Bay East End. The one close to the airport is Long Bay East End.
Oh, you're talking about
the one
West?
I'm talking about is Long Bay West End.
If you are talking about that Long Bay, I am so in love with that beach. It's not a beach that you can swim at because it's a little rough, right?
No.
Well,
it depends. You can play in the waves.
We're not talking like one of those like sand. It's sandy, yeah, but it's not that kind of like, you know, you just walk in and it's a calm beach. No, it's not. But I think there is the beauty in it. It's rough and it's beautiful. And then you have those pelicans and the sunset there is one of the most beautiful sunsets I've seen. Oh.
Beautiful.
It is gorgeous. That is actually where I stay. And I'm in love with that beach. Okay. Yeah. So, but where is this resort though? I'm trying to.
So when you came, it probably wasn't up and running because it got heavily damaged during
the. Are you talking about the one that's actually on the beach itself?
Yeah. So there used to be some beachfront. I guess houses like right on the beach, but those got destroyed during the hurricane. So what they've done is that they've rebuilt them, but they've revamped them and they give off this like boho, boho travel, you know, kind of aesthetic. And then they have the clubhouse restaurant that's like right next door. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of stay in the resort and you can just like walk over and have breakfast, lunch or dinner.
That is amazing.
Right there. They have a coffee shop area, a boutique. No, they have a boutique. Yeah. So I think it's like a one-stop shop. And if you're driving a car, you know, you can easily get over to the other side. So like Smuggler's Cove, which is also another beautiful beach with nice snorkeling and stuff.
I actually went to Smugglers. Like Smugglers is actually not too far from there. But we stayed in a little villa up in the hills, so above the resort.
Those villas,
So, but I remember that they were saying indeed that they were gonna redo the damaged hotel, that they were gonna kind of like revamp it. I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, definitely. I agree with you. That was one of the best places that I didn't want to leave, not even to go explore the rest. I just wanted to stay on that beach all day.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's beautiful. So that is long as in L-O-C-H?
Long as in L-O-N-G.
No, I mean the name of the resort.
Oh, the name of the resort? Long Bay Resort.
Oh, it's Long Bay Resort. Sorry, I heard Long Bay or something. Yeah. Long Bay Resort.
Long Bay Resort.
Ah, gorgeous. All right. So we are getting all of the inside tips here. This is exactly what I wanted. Awesome. And is there anything else that you want to actually share with us when it comes to the BVIs? Anything that one of the things that I always ask my guests on that podcast is, what is the one thing that you would wish the visitors to the BVIs would know that they should avoid doing or do that would come over a little better with locals. Because, you know, I always say the locals, we are very hospitable people, but we also have our values and our traditions. And there's a lot of ways that you can disrespect all of those if you don't know. So what would be one of the don'ts for the BVI?
It's interesting because I feel like we're such a hospitable people. I mean, I can't imagine like someone doing something that would kind of like, you know, put someone in that kind of space. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, I would like to take it from an environmental perspective because, as I said, like, we are struggling a bit with like the mass tourism mm-hmm. coming, especially mm-hmm. from the cruise ships.
Yeah.
And one of the things we're struggling with, like really struggling with, is the use of the chemical sunscreen.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And that running off into the ocean. Mm-hmm. So they actually had to start taking a tax at the baths. They had to start collecting a tax at the baths because of the use of the sunscreen mm-hmm. destroying the actual rock formation and the actual sea life mm-hmm. in that space. Because I've learned this recently, you know, that sunscreen, like traditional sunscreens, because you can get all natural
ones, exactly.
as well, but traditional sunscreens have these chemicals in them called forever chemicals mm-hmm. and they actually don't leave the planet. Like they don't leave your body. If they get into your body, they yeah. don't leave it. And if they get into the ocean, it's going to be in the ocean
forever.
Mm-hmm. So I suspect, that the use that is causing damage. Yeah, it's causing damage. So I think I would plea from an environmental perspective, like it's really took a toll on the bats mm-hmm. in particular, and the reef
wow.
life on the bats, because, you know, it's mm-hmm. mass tourism, yeah. And the people coming from the cruise ships and stuff. And so I would just say, be mindful of the types of chemicals, the types of products that you use, even like mosquito repellent, mm-hmm. all those mm-hmm. sorts of stuff. Like it might not do much damage for you if you were to go to a bigger country.
Yeah.
But because we're so small mm-hmm. and like tourism is one of our main pillars, we rely heavily on people coming to see the bats mm-hmm. and being in awe of the bats. I would say that that's like one thing I would say to be mindful of as a visitor to any Caribbean island.
I agree. That is such a good point.
Yeah.
Such mm-hmm. a good point. And there's a lot mm-hmm. of things. This is something that a lot of people don't think about. And it's so, so close to my heart. So thank you for mentioning it, because that is one thing that I stress every mm-hmm. single time I get an opportunity. It costs you maybe a little more time to search for an actual, sunscreen that is reef safe and water safe, and mm-hmm. also personal safety, because a lot of people don't know this, mm-hmm. but the traditional sunblocks actually has harmful chemicals that it's not so great for your skin either. So if it's not mm-hmm. good for nature, it is definitely not good for us humans. So take that into right. consideration every time when you go to the generic sunscreen. Do a little bit more mm-hmm. of research mm-hmm. and find yourself one that is more natural and that doesn't have the harmful chemicals in it. I think oxybenzone is another one of those chemicals that you should right. definitely not have mm-hmm. in a sunscreen. And you just mentioned, you shouldn't have it on your skin either. Absolutely not. And you just mentioned before that, you know, you're seeing a lot of people are now saying how, you know, the reefs are not looking as pretty. This is definitely a contributing factor. It's all of those cruise tourists mm-hmm. and tourists in general mm-hmm. and even other, you know, locals themselves who didn't know better, who are coming right. in wearing right. this, you know, this harmful stuff on their skin, and then going and playing mm-hmm. with turtles mm-hmm. and then you've infected a turtle with something. And then that's why it's like a big no-no. Mm-hmm. Do not touch the animal, especially if you're wearing sunscreen and especially do not mm-hmm. go in the water with it at all. So thank you for that. Right. That is amazing. So before I let mm-hmm. you go today, I want you to tell the listener how they can get in touch with you, especially if they're interested in staying at your Airbnb and book a tarot reading with you and do any of the other services that you offer, because you also do yoga, Reiki. Yeah. And now we know also
some sound therapy.
Sound therapy. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I haven't done that yet, but mm-hmm. that's on my list. Mm-hmm. And you also, of course, do the island tour, which is not for everybody, only the guests that are staying with you.
For now, mm-hmm. I just offer it to my guests.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. But I mean, if you stay in touch, I'm sure it'll expand into something. I'm sure by the time they're ready to come and visit.
Yeah. And it's such a good thing when you, and I think it's that's one of the reasons why I started offering island tours, but I'm cutting back on that in June. I said I'm not doing it anymore because having one podcast now and soon having two podcasts plus a blog plus, you know, social media plus I'm planning retreats plus, it's really taken a lot of my time. So unfortunately, I'm not going to go and I'm not going to continue offering the island tours, but I am so happy that you do. Yeah. And what I found is that it gives so much more value when you book with a person who actually knows what they're talking about, who knows the island, who lives there and is able to tell you the backstories of all the beautiful things you see along the way. So thank you for doing that. So how can anybody get in touch with you? What is the best way?
Yes. Okay, so I think the best way would be to follow me on Instagram right now, because the website that I just started recreating isn't up and launched as yet. But once you follow me on Instagram, I have the links or the instructions on how to find me on my other platforms. So my main Instagram platform is Holistic Mama Medicine. And there you can find my tarot page and you can find my wellness practice and moving on from that, if you wanted to stay at my Airbnb, it's called the Green Leaf Oasis, and I can share the link with Frizzell and she can put it in the link below, but the link is also on my Instagram if you wanted to check out the Airbnbs. I also have an Instagram page. It's called The Green Leaf Oasis. So you can follow that Instagram page if you wanted to know more about my Airbnbs and my offers that I offer to my guests. And then if you wanted to book a tarot, it's the Sacred Wisdom Tarot. You can follow me there. And then there's the links to book a reading with me if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, which I did, and it was very, very informative. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the reading that you did for me, and I'm ready to book another one. So when we are ready with this episode, stay on because I want to discuss that with you. So you, the listener, are listening right now and you are interested in visiting the BVIs, then definitely follow Rochelle at Holistic Mama Medicine or the Sacred Wisdom Tarot, or if you are interested in, you know, an Airbnb that is right on the beach, then you definitely need to check out the Green Leaf Oasis, which I'm gonna do right now because, like you, I now too just found out that she has Airbnbs, so that's a plus, a major plus for me. Thank you so much for all of the valuable information that you shared today. I am so grateful that you were able to come on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun, and I'm happy that we were able to share with your listeners some stuff about the BVI and what they can get into, so that makes me happy. So thank you.
So, my friend, there you have it. The beautiful BVI awaits, and so is Rochelle. And I hope that she and I have been able to inspire you to take a trip to these islands very, very soon. And now you also have a contact there in her. So make sure to follow up with Rochelle. Follow her journey on Instagram. I've added all the links for her, her tarot reading business, which you should definitely hire her to do for you. She's amazing. Her Holistic Mama Instagram account, and of course also the account or the Instagram account for her beach properties, which I don't know about you, but I've already contacted her and I already told her that I'm coming. I secured a couple of dates. I cannot wait to return to Tortola and spend it with her, you know, have her read my cards, but also do some yoga on the beach and then some meditation and all that transformational goodness, because because that is so, so good for you. And it's like, what we should be doing this at least once a year. Seriously, take care of yourself by doing something like this. All right. So you were also the first one to know, and I cannot believe I actually discussed this today. You are the first one to know about my plans to start a second podcast. Yes, that's right. Island Girl Awakening podcast is coming very, very soon to the podcast near you. And you too, if you want to be part of that, and if you want to be part of the conversation about transformation, personal growth, healing, all of that good stuff, and if you want to know about all the tools that I use to be a better, happier me, then definitely go to the show notes, click on the link, subscribe to the newsletter, Island Girl Awakening, and you will know all about the retreat that's coming up. Yes, 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 I'm planning a retreat June 4th to the 9th here in my home island of St. Martin. You do not want to miss that. You definitely want to be part of that because, after all, it is so, so important to take some time for yourself. So that's it for me. I hope that you have learned quite a lot about the BVIs, about Rochelle's business, and how she can be there for you on your journey to the BVI, whether it is a transformational journey, personal growth journey, or whatever kind of journey it is. She is able to help you out with that. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for lending me an ear. I appreciate you more than you could ever know. Paradise Perspectives will be back in 2 weeks, and next time we are making a trip to St. Vincent and the Grenadines, so don't miss it. I'm Griselle, the traveling island girl, wishing you happy travels and see you soon in the islands.